be the same, and their principles and their values are not going to be exactly the same. It is that they will be overwhelmingly, substantially the same in comparison with what the individual finds, even with the other individuals that he likes. Now, because of the fact, though, that there will be some things that they will not have in common, each individual may very well engage in relationships with other individuals to gain intellectual results or to gain recreational results from other individuals, because it's possible with that third party but not with the second party. But this would not necessarily change this in any way, because the individual still finds that he is romantically attached to only one individual, that the other individual, no matter how much he respects that person, does not provoke the same response within him. Now, how can this come about? And when I gave this lecture as part of the seminar in Newport Beach last fall, I got one overwhelming argument that came back to me in the discussion period, and that was, sure, every individual has experienced this at some time in his life, that he has felt himself devoted exclusively to one person, but it only lasts temporarily. And I frankly was amazed, not that there was anything wrong with being this realistic, but I never expected husbands and wives to stand up and shout that this sort of thing doesn't last forever, you know, when everybody there was a couple. No, that's imprecise, isn't it? Everybody there was half a couple. But at any rate, the point was that all of this was thrown in my face, that sure, this happens sometimes in an individual's life. But what I'm talking about tonight is not necessarily what has happened from the past in any one individual's life, but rather what has happened from the past to give a guide to reality, combined with what the logic of your mind can tell you is possible if certain things can be brought about. And let's discuss this concept of single-mindedness. We've talked about making decisions in the past, about facing the price that has to be paid. The individual that does pay the price for his decisions, that does recognize in advance, is a much more single-minded individual. I don't mean narrow-minded in the concept that his mind is not open to other possibilities. His mind is always open to other possibilities, but not the same old possibilities that he has rehashed and rejected before. Being open-minded does not mean every time somebody comes to you with an idea, you sit down and give them an hour of your time to discuss this idea, as implausible as it may be, or even though it's an idea you studied yesterday and rejected completely. Being open-minded means that when new knowledge comes your way, you consider it and integrate it into what you know, and based upon the limited resources you have to spend even investigating it, you make a determination as to whether it's worth your while. But single-mindedness is the state of mind that the individual has once he has made a clear-cut decision and with regard to reality, with regard to the price that he has to pay. He is then not beset by the foregone alternatives. Once having recognized that of these 10 things out there, there's only one I can have with the limited resources I have, and I have selected this one because it will bring me the most happiness, and then as I engage in the program upon which that is based, I do not spend my time looking at number 2, number 4, number 8, and number 10 as they walk by and say to myself, boy, I wish I had that too. Facing reality means that there is only so much I can have with my limited resources. That may be 100 times what I'm enjoying today if I'm engaged in a lot of irrelevancies. But there is still a limit on it. And to take the attitude that I ought to have everything in this world is, of course, unrealistic. I will make decisions because I can't have everything. Because even though my desires may appear to be unlimited, my resources are not. Therefore, I will choose on the basis of what is the price I'm willing to pay, what are the alternatives I'm willing to forego in order to get what I want. Then, once having made that decision, I can proceed on a straight line to the goal that I have in mind. And as these alternatives that I've already considered, that I've already looked at in the past, walk by and say, wouldn't you like to have me too? Wouldn't you like to have this as part of your life? I know why I'm not having them as part of my life, because I have given them up not for something worse, but for something better. Because there are better things that I'm enjoying that I could not have along with these foregone alternatives. This is the importance of visualizing the price in advance. If that price is going to be a big price, sit down and go through it mentally in your mind. Think it out. Recognize yourself paying it. How am I going to feel when I have to pay that price? How am I going to feel when these alternatives are going to beckon for my attention? How am I going to feel when these resources have to be taken bodily and handed over to somebody else as the price for what I'm going to get? Is it going to be worth it? Because to not visualize that price is to make the decision on the basis that, well, maybe the price won't come due. Maybe I won't have to pay it. And if I could get this reward without having to pay this price, then wouldn't that be ducky? Well, of course, that's not facing reality. And when the price comes due, then you're beset with all kinds of conflicting emotions. well, it's nice to have this, but is it really